Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Flogger Presents with your host, Andrew Walmsley.
Hello everybody, welcome to the latest show. It's me, the Flogger, and today I have two more special guests for you. It is Revelog, and I have with me Hannah and Michael.
Hello.
Hello!
Hi! Thank you for having us, Andrew.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's really appreciated. These two were recommended by from one of my recent podcasts, and he said such good things about we had to get you on the show.
That's great, yes. We listened to your podcast with Andrew, with Paul a bit, and it was very interesting, so we're happy to be here.
Oh. I hope you realise some of the stuff's serious, but I really do enjoy like random questions, having a bit of fun.
Sounds good.
Sure.
Well, I think it's important to get the personalities of the people. It's not, you know, you're not just selling me something, are you? It's about us getting on.
Yeah. We're with you and that.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, you've got something to promote, which is good. And I think if people understand a little bit about you, I think film's got that emotional buy.
So yeah, I do, yeah.
And for me, it is a big, big thing. So say my friends look at digital cameras and they're discussing like the latest Nikon mirrorless. And I can't think of anything more boring to discuss.
That's really boring because it doesn't matter if you have Nikon, if you're Nikon or anything. It depends on what you're doing with it. Yeah, and since we're doing Revelog, we also have our digital cameras, and you use it in that way, but you use film in a very different, very special way.
Yes. And I think it's like with technical things, it can be a bit, well, kind of dead, if you know what I mean. Like it's, you can have a perfect picture, like technical wise, but if there's something missing, like the soul, let's put it like this way, like in a spiritual way, then it's just not a good picture.
Yeah,
and,
I think. I think the whole film movement that's happening, I mean, do you see it as a movement or a... It's just an increase. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, do you want to answer? Sorry. I think there is an increase in film. We've kind of like had the perfect moment to found our company because like when we founded the company back in 2010, we were both still students at photography school, and it was the time when Instagram grew big through all the filters, the colorful filters, and the vintage vibe. Kind of huge, and that kind of like inspired people to go back to analog as well a bit.
Yeah.
So
that, and a lot of people didn't knew analog anymore.
Yeah.
So for example, we were one of the last classes in our photography school who were taught the darkroom techniques and stuff like this. It doesn't exist anymore in our school.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah.
And so we find it very interesting that there are a lot of young people, especially like teenagers and people in their early 20s who've grown up with digital, are starting to photograph with 35mm or medium format, whatever, film photography. Because sometimes they find cameras from their parents or at the thrift store and they just try to experiment, and that's a very fun thing to learn photography because it's so much slower and you don't know what you can expect before you get the film developed. So I think it's a different way of taking pictures and of viewing your subjects.
And actually both of us started with analog photography.
Yeah.
and I remember because the digital and photography was very expensive at that moment, or didn't exist at all. And I knew when I first got my first digital camera, I thought, oh yeah, now I now I can do everything. But that's just not true. It's just
And to this day, I mean, we are both working as photographers professionally too, so we do have digital cameras and equipment, of course. But for me, I just hate to sit in front of the computer and, you know, edit the pictures afterwards. It's such a mind-numbing a work for me. And I know I prefer, I mean, I do scan my negatives, so I still have to do some like, you know, retouching because if there's a little bit of dust on there, but I prefer it over, I don't know, like high end portrait retouching or whatever. It's mind numbing.
Yeah. It's very, very different. Like two different things entirely, but in some ways I like to choose a camera to suit what I feel like at the time.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes it is digital, and sometimes I'm just obsessed with analog.
Yeah.
I think that's great, isn't it? We have the options now.
Yeah. And nothing is bad, and nothing is better or worse, and it's just like it's great. We have the option. Yeah. You can do digital if you need to, or you can do it analog if you want to have that certain moment and certain style and feeling.
Yeah.
And I think both have got some very good skills. So, you may have listened to some of the recent podcasts. I've just started in the darkroom recently, so a colleague of mine said it'll actually improve your in-shot camera work because you know what the end product's going to be.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so too,
I'm so obsessed by the darkroom now. I taught my I got in there with my daughter at the weekend and we did a photogram.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And she loved it. She got a Ninja Turtle out. She got a bit of Lego. What else? And some people suggested other things. So
That's the most magical experience about analog photography, when you first time in the dark room and picture appears. That's magic.
Yeah, it's absolutely magic. Have you tried cyanotype as well?
No. So the last podcast I did was a lady called Rachel from Little Vintage.
Mm-hmm.
And she introduced all this concept to me. So she goes around teaching in the UK. She goes into schools and businesses and that, and exactly doing cyanotypes, photograms, camera obscura, pinhole.
Yeah.
I mean, she's an amazing lady. I'll have to link her to you and tell her to buy some of your film because she'd love it.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. So it is cyanotype something you've done as well then?
Yes, we've tried that at school.
We had a workshop.
We had a workshop and that's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that was a lot of fun because it's so easy to do. And I was just thinking, because you said you did it with your daughter, the photograms. That's something she might enjoy too, because it's the great thing is you don't need the dark room. You don't need any, you know, harsh chemicals. It's just the cyanotype chemicals and then the sunlight and water, basically. And so it's very easy to do. A lot of fun.
So is that something you say you taught or you went to a workshop?
No, we went to a workshop.
Workshop, yeah.
Okay.
Also, when we were in photography class, there was the option to that workshop, and that it was awesome. I bought the chemicals afterwards and did it for myself and with my ex-girlfriend, and I couldn't get enough of it.
Because the great thing is you can use it on many textures. You can use it on you know, cloths or bags, whatever, even on wood and stuff. You can use the cyanotype chemicals and develop it, and it's kind of fun. Yeah.
All right. I'll bear that in mind because I've always got a spare bit of clothing and I've got lots of wood. I might try that.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, I'd love to try it. I've got so many things on my list to do. The list gets a bit too big at the minute. That's the problem.
We feel you. Yeah. I think it's the same everywhere.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing with analog over digital. There's so many areas to play with because it's not as easy to do because you can just do it in Lightroom or Photoshop. But I like the hands-on stuff. When I get home from work, I like to be doing manual stuff and sort of get away from the technology, which is really nice.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's a very big universe. So.
Yeah.
It's never ending.
Yeah, someone said to me, now you've started printing, you've got to realise different developer, different chemicals, different paper. It's all going to matter. And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a science in itself.
Yeah, and I think I'm obviously coming in at a different angle because I'm unskilled and untrained. So I'm sort of bodging my way through it, making it up as I go along. But
yeah, but
I like it.
Yeah, in a way, everyone does, even if you learn it. I mean, we went to photography school, like it was only 2 years, and we photographed before, but it's a never-ending learning process. And even with the company, like the learning never stops. Yeah. It was because we didn't like we don't have a background like in you know as a I'm missing the word, like the no commercial background in a way. We didn't learn how to build a company in a startup, so everything was kind of like a work in progress.
Learning by doing. And that's like analog photography.
Exactly.
You're doing it. I mean, actually, 10 years or 15 years ago, people were really into analog photography. We were at the photographer 3 weeks ago who just did everything with large format and he also had a laboratory and a dark room and everything. So that's a big difference. I think people who learned photography back in these days were really how do you call it?
Like hands-down professionals.
Hands-down professionals, that. Because there's no other options. Yeah.
Yes. And
it's definitely the same over here as well, To be honest, really, the only way of making money in this country is being a wedding photographer.
Yeah. It's a bit the same here. It's weddings and sometimes there is still some advertising, but it's in a decline. There's a lot of people photographing and a lot of good people, but the prices are down a lot, and it's kind of sad because people don't want to really pay because they feel that everyone can take pictures. Everyone has their digital cameras, and they don't realize that you need a little bit more skills than just having a camera, but that's the way it is, and
that's right.
We'll work around that.
We can deliver something no one else can.
Yeah, we tried to at
least. Be interesting to see you where. You have to tell us about it at the end, anyway. So one of my first questions for you then is, where did you get the idea for the film?
Michael, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, the first idea was like to artificially age films like they are looking like in the 60s, like you not in the 60s, like the photographs you have now from the 60s.
Like expired films, basically.
Expired films, it was like artificially expire films, stuff like this, and we were at the photography school, and we had to do our diploma, and I suggested that, Hannah was into it from the first second.
Actually, I was. The story is like this. I mean, Michael knew that I was into analog photography and that I still needed a diploma project partner, and he was like, "Yeah, don't you want to team up with me? I've got this idea." And he was proposing things to me like, "You know, we could put like a film into your microwave." And I was like, "No, no, we are not putting a film into my microwave." I kind of laughed actually at first.
She laughed a bit.
I didn't take him too serious at the first time.
But I tried out a few films, and I think one of the first one was Tesla.
Okay.
And
that's the one. Sorry, that's the one with the lightning bolt.
With the lightning bolt. Mm-hmm. Was one of the first ones, and.
Yeah. He showed it to me and I was hooked.
And
I was
she was
like,
in.
Yes, I was like, okay, yeah, that's something. I want to be part of this. And
later on we recognized that it's not that easy to artificially expire films and stuff like this and or putting films in microwaves or in x-rays because we don't have x-rays or something like this. So, and after a lot of working together in the dark room, we finally found our processes and found our first 8 films.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's also we kind of were forced to found the company. We couldn't just like try out things for ourselves because there would be like so many things you could do. Like many people are doing that, putting film in dishwashers or whatever. But since we had to found the company to have a legitimate diploma project, we had to find ways to not destroy the films, or especially not destroy the chemicals of the laboratory, because we wanted to sell the films, and if people gave the films to the laboratory and then the chemicals of the machines were destroyed, that would not have been a good idea. So we tried to find out ways how to
do it without destroying the
chemistry, non-invasive ways. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Wow, that's... So do you have, did you have like a list of ideas? I bet this is Michael, but a list of ideas that is totally crazy?
Well, a list of ideas,
If we have it now?
No, if we had it back then.
If
or
we
have
it back now? We had some ideas,
yes.
but I mean, there were actually a lot of ideas, and a lot of ideas died in the making.
Yeah.
So.
Because we can't be creative.
So you had a lot of fun.
Yeah, because we had a few films which we tried out, and they were incredible, and we never... we couldn't do
we
it again.
It, yeah. It's kind of interesting because we had to try to find ways to standard the process in a way, so we had to test out a lot of films to have like kind of at least
to ensure that there is the effect. Yeah.
And some of them just worked out fine in the first moment, and then
never
it
again.
Was not repeatable, and we didn't know what we tried all we did all the same things, and it didn't work out. So, that's what we do basically. Like the last film we released, Cosmos.
Oh, yeah.
That was also hard. I think we tried 30 or 40 test films before we finally got it right.
Wow. So did that take a lot of trying different films, or did you know what you wanted to work with?
Do you mean like as a base material or a raw material?
Yeah.
We wanted to have something cheap. That was important because we started out as a school project basically, and we didn't have any money. So we wanted to have something cheap, and we wanted to have something no name in the beginning because we said like it's kind of like with copyright and everything.
Actually,
yeah.
When back at the beginning when we started, we went to the grocery store.
Yeah,
and
like
bought the
cheapest film to try it out.
Bought the film and try it out. And because we didn't knew anything about where to get films,
like wholesale
films and stuff like this. So it's just like we said, at first we didn't knew what we're doing.
Yeah. So we just knew we wanted to have color negative film. We wanted to have it like around 200 ISO, but we tried a lot of different things. In the beginning, it was only 12 exposures because it was easier for us to use and to make the effects with. And then that changed a lot. So we switched a lot of films because it wasn't easy to get like a large amount of films on hand all the time. We finally found one distributor who is now also delivering our films and where we're getting what we want. But it's getting harder because there are less and less producers. We used to buy film through Ferrania, which was an Italian company, and they are now resurfacing under a new, basically new people trying to reanimate
hopefully
soon.
Hopefully soon.
We're having our fingers crossed for them. I think they're in a good way. But we used to have the old stock of Ferrani, and then they closed down totally. And that is now we try to.
It wasn't that easy to get stock.
Yeah, it was very hard.
Yes, sounds tough. Is there a reason why you only do 35mm?
Yes, there is actually, because we are working by hand in the darkroom and apply the effects, and it's very easy to unspool the film and then re-spool it in the darkroom. But with 120 film, you couldn't do it that way. You would need machines.
We did it, but we cannot ensure that there are no light leaks and stuff
this,
and it's a bit complicated. But that's definitely one thing in the pipeline. But it's a bit hard, you know. It's like we don't know exactly how we could do it now.
Exactly, because we need to partner up with someone probably for that, because we need machinery and we would have to work on the rolls of film, a lot of 40 feet rolls of film or something, and then have it re-spooled and labeled. And so basically that's the reason why we only have 35 millimeters at the moment. Yeah.
But if you're lucky, there
will be a cooperation in the future. Yeah. Yes, we're open for that.
Yeah, well, you just never know, do you? You just know things can happen, so. Anything can happen in the future, can't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's also why we are hoping that Ferrania is getting like their plant finished, because maybe that would be a way to work with someone, because with the big, like, you know, Fuji or Kodak, those are two big companies to work with. You would need a small partner to do something like that.
Okay.
The guys from Ferrania are really, really nice guys.
Yes.
Maybe you can invite them for a chat too, because
they might be open for that, and they're very,
the
very
day,
great people.
You've got to promote people like yourselves, because it's nice that Kodak and everyone are alive, but there's a market for everybody now. That's the big difference, I think. And they're not going to do what you do, are they?
No, not at all. They're trying to bring back 35 millimeter films from Italy, basically. Like, they want to make slide films and color negative. They started with the black and white film already, but they want to really make the old Ferrania films again. And that's quite a hard process, because you need to have all the chemicals, and creating film is very hard. We wouldn't be able to do it because we don't have a chemical background or whatever. It's crazy. It's very, very tough.
Well, you can't know everything, can you?
Exactly.
You'll have to go back to university to study chemicals, then go back to do marketing, then come back.
And then we have our first film with 120 or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it'd be interesting to see it on such a big scale, because obviously the size difference is just immense.
The size
Between 35 and medium format. States?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's. I mean, like, we would love to have 120 film. Like, it would be really, really an awesome thing. And let's keep our fingers crossed that that will be possible in the future.
Yeah, I think that's probably even more of a niche, if you use that word.
That's the thing. Absolutely, yeah. We've been talking to the guys of Rana actually a couple of years back, and the thing is, I mean, our products, they're not like cheap film, because there's a lot of like work going in there, and so we cannot, like, you know, give them away for 3 years or something, and that would be even more the case with 120 films. So this would be a very pricey product probably. And it's a question people would be willing to pay also, I don't know, 20 euros for one roll of film with 12 pictures on it. Yeah,
and more people are into 35 millimeters than 120.
Yes, so. But still.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, we've got to have interest everybody in it at the same time, but yeah, it's such a small market compared. Well, I think the totally unique things, but I think everyone's going to start on 35mm anyway, aren't they?
I think most people are, yes, because the cameras are cheap and easy to get by, and it's easier to use. So, I think 35 is the starting point for most people.
Especially when you're starting. Yeah. I think if you're doing like the crazy large format or something like this, you can get really, really fast frustrated and you don't try it again.
Yeah.
For people like me, so I mean, I'm a very budget conscious person, so shooting film is a expensive hobby, but for me it's a beautiful thing. I've met some wonderful people, you know, I'm here with you, so it's changed my life.
Yeah, ours too, actually. I mean, like, Revelog really, like, made me meet so many people, and it's so amazing to see also what our customers do with the films. Like, there's such a broad range of photography, and people are using it in all kinds of situations and ways, and it's I really love to go on Instagram and just enter the hashtag and see what people come up with. And we've met friends through Revelog, actually. We met people in Berlin who invited us 7 years ago, who we are really close friends with now, and it's really amazing to I feel very thankful about that.
No, that's good to hear. It's nice, because I think the film community are a bit more they engage socially. There's a bit more care, everyone's trying to help each other.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's so, like, yeah, because you kind of, it's, I mean, you wouldn't in digital, you wouldn't really, like, I guess, so I'm not the way, like, talk about, like, retouching things or, like, sit in front of the
computer. I mean,
I don't know.
The information for digital stuff, it's like, it's like, you can find that information anywhere and everywhere. But for especially for analog techniques or special techniques or tips and tricks, it's not so easy to find, and it's way easier to talk to people and to explain it or to get it explained.
Yeah.
So that's I think the thing that it's like. Easier talking with people than looking to the internet and finding it, and so you are connecting to people.
Yeah, true. I think so too.
True, yes. Photography.
Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely right. I'm very lucky. I come across a couple of people that have helped me out. When I got involved in a project last year, I befriended a guy from Scotland.
Of course.
Okay. Beautiful, beautiful place. He's been doing film for years. So if I have an issue, I just message him now, and we've become friends. He's done two podcasts with me. We recorded another last week. And in 2 months, I'm going to get to meet him for the first time.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's great.
Oh, that's really great.
It's just amazing. So, you know, if my situation ever changes with money, I would like to tell the world and, you know, meet yourselves and go see Paul. There's people in New York. There's a street photography magazine I interviewed last week in the States. And, you know, that would be a brilliant goal.
Yeah. You should definitely come over here. We would be happy to have you.
Yeah, it was my... So do you both speak German then?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Yeah.
One of my friends teaches German. University here. Yeah, she's
really?
Just applying for her citizenship because she should be staying here. Now, so lovely. Dude.
Okay.
Yeah, it's nice.
Great.
I like the fact that I can talk to someone in another country, and I feel ever so grateful you can talk my language because I'm too stupid to talk to yours.
Well, it has nothing to do with stupidity, nothing at all. Yeah. It's just what you learn in school. I mean, it's like, and everyone speaks English,
education.
Everywhere abroad. It's like, it's a universal language already. Well, we've been to Spain in May at the festival, an analog photography festival, and we were both very lucky that we have like basic Spanish knowledge, like really basic. Because, like in Spain, no one speaks English, even the young people, and it was very interesting
though,
for us.
Even though it must be funny to listen to us when we're just speaking Spanish.
It was very basic. It was very basic. We needed our hands and feet, and I think people were laughing at us a little bit, or with us, we don't know. Yeah. But we tried our best.
Well, that's nice. I think this is. The nice thing about using the internet and the web to reach out to people.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I need to. My cat is in the room right now, and I need to get him out of here because he's like starting to get annoying. So.
Wants to join in.
Yeah, he wants to join in, but he's not invited to. So, yeah.
So as far as the film's concerned, then, is that still hand processed by you two?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Each roll of film goes through our hands many times.
That's what we're often talking about. I always say, like, I think that nobody had so much films in their hand like we did.
Well, wow. I'm not sure about that.
Anna always says she's not sure about that.
I'm definitely not sure about that because there's many people working in labs, whatever. But it's like because we have to unpackage the films we get, and then we have to work in the dark with them, and we label them, and so every shipment we do is prepared by hand. It's only Michael and me, so there's no one else.
Wow.
If you order from our store, someone of us.
You have fingerprints on it.
No, I think that's nice because you obviously love what you're doing and you can hear it.
Yeah, I always say I would be our best customer. If I wouldn't do what we do, I would buy the things all the time because, I mean, I've shot hundreds of rolls of our films already and I still don't get enough. It's just so much fun.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. I know when Paul started selling, if it wasn't your brand, it was another brand. And there was people putting on the forums that weren't particularly nice things that, it's just another expired film look. And I backed Paul up and just said, look, you've got an option. This is a nice thing you can do. If you don't like it, that is completely fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always the same.
Yeah, it's the haters gonna hate thing.
But, you know, how often we heard, like, why you don't do it in Photoshop? That's not the point. That's definitely not the point.
Because, of course, you could do it in Photoshop, but it takes the fun out of it. And we wanted to create something that can easily be used by anybody without any skills. It can be used by like the teenage girl with the compact camera. You can put the film in and bring it to the lab and has effects on them. She doesn't need to use anything else. So, yeah.
And people maybe should let go something, or let go just like, okay, there's coincidence, and accept it. That's also like a thought, yeah. A beautiful thought, that you just like not going to control everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's a particular sort of person. Maybe they're like camera collectors and they're very precise about certain things, and that's not going to suit you, is it? It's people like me and you, a bit more relaxed about it. Let's just try something, see what happens.
And
I'd like to think I like that. In the dark room the other night, I showed a friend how to do it. So for me, I get more pleasure because I'm actually teaching someone else, mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only been doing it 3 weeks. But it doesn't matter. I'm only teaching people the basics of what I've been taught.
Yeah.
And it's great, isn't it? I've seen my enjoyment level jump up so much from shooting film to now. Right, all I want to do is shoot black and white at the minute because that's all the chemicals I've got.
Yeah.
And then my friend said, oh, if you get colour, let me know. And I'll come back round. And I'm thinking, oh, God, now you're challenging me.
Yeah, we've once or twice tried developing colour film our own. And it's actually not that hard.
It's not that hard to develop it. To develop it, it's not hard, but I think you really have to practice to enlarge it.
Yeah,
that's a big difference.
Prints is a different topic. That's true. But the developing of the negative is actually, there are some home developing kits, I think from Tetinal and mm-hmm. other companies that are really easy to use and shouldn't be such a big difference to black and white actually in the process.
Okay.
Home use. Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. Do you have access to many films in your country then? So, like, for instance, obviously you've seen how much Paul sells on his shop. Can you get the same range? Because, for instance, can you get the Ilfords and some of these more different Kodaks and the Burgers and all this?
Well, we could probably, but it's do you mean commercially for Revlog as
yes, yeah, sorry, for you say personally rather than your business. So if you wanted to shoot film,
well, for us personally, of course, I mean, we could order through Analog Wonderland, of course, or any. There's a lot of shops that even in Austria, like photography shops that sell films and lots of different films. Like there's a huge store called Photo Impex in Berlin who have a wide range of films, we do try out different films all the time. At least I try to. And I also like when people know that you shoot analog, they tend to give you their expired film. Like, hey, I found that in the fridge and I found this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, give it to me. So I'm shooting lots and lots of expired films, and some of them are absolutely amazing, and others are, well, you get the negative back or the slide, whatever it is, and you're like, oh, wow, there's not much on there, but it's still interesting. It's kind of like impressionist paintings or something. But I like that. I like to have like these, surprises.
Yeah, I think that's a nice way of putting it. So, I will ask you what your favourite film is, because that's not fair. But what's your favourite camera?
The favourite Revlog film or from all films?
All films would be interesting. Is it? Okay.
It's so hard to choose. Yeah, but I would say I really like from Rollei, there is a orthochrome 25 ISO film. It's a black and white film, and I really like it. It has very hard contrasts. It's very fine grain, I shot it a couple of times, and I really like the look of it. So that would probably be my non-Revlog favorite film. And from Revlog, it's hard to choose because it's like choosing between your children in a way. it always changes. At the moment, I really like a new one, Cosmos, because it's like the new one, so it's kind of like still special. Always like to switch it. It also depends on what you shoot and what you want to do with camera. So, yeah.
Can I choose two films? For me, it's like color films, like not Revlog. It would be the Kodak Portra. That's an awesome film. And for black and white, it's the Ilford HP5. Because that's an incredible film. You can push that film like crazy, and you get great results, and you can do everything with this film, and it's amazing. I love that film.
Okay.
And I have to choose from our children, I have my favorite children. I'm a bad parent. I would choose the 600 and this Streak and Color, I think.
Yeah, there are so many things to choose from. It's hard.
So you know the Rolleiflex. What particular is that strong at? Yeah, is it people, landscapes?
I think it's actually, I've used it on everything, but I prefer it on landscape and architecture because of these hard contrasts. But you can use it if you can do great high key stuff with people as well. It's. It has a nice look.
Okay, mm-hmm. I'll have to check that one out. Yeah, because I like doing shooting architecture and sometimes high key as well. So that's interesting. So what would your favorite cameras be then? Do you use the same ones? Do you use different ones?
You mean me and Michael the same ones, or
yeah?
Well, sometimes. Because I recently bought a Nikon F100, which Michael has.
That's my favorite camera, yeah.
And I recently bought it too because I have a Nikon digital camera, and so I can use my prime lenses with that, which is kind of great. But it's also hard to choose, but I would actually go with Minolta. I used to have an X-G1, which I got from my dad, and that one broke down, and then I had to find another Minolta camera where I can use my lenses, and then I got the X300, and I've been using that for 5 years now, and I really love it because it's sturdy but still kind of lightweight for an SLR, and I used to use it to travel a lot, uh-huh, because it's a camera that won't be stolen easily. I mean, it's not worth much, basically. But it's very robust, and so I would say this is one of my favorite cameras. And if I go to medium format, it would be my Hasselblad. I have a 500 cm.
Okay.
And so I like to use that one too, of course, but it's a bit more big and heavy. Yeah. So usually it's 5mm.
Yeah, the Hassel and like the Mamiya, they're very heavy as well, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very heavy. And if you have like a tail lens on it, it gets even heavier.
I'm lucky. I've got a Bronica.
Uh-huh, okay.
I adore it. Absolutely. I mean, I walk around all afternoon with street photographer that. I think it's superb for it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, but
recently, yeah. Sorry.
No, go for it. You're right.
I just wanted to say we get a really fun camera in New York. We were in New York in October at Brooklyn Film Camera, and they're really amazing, very awesome people, and they're specialized in Polaroid photography and on cameras, but they also have other sorts of cameras, and they had a Nimslo camera, which is I think Japanese,
yeah, it's Japanese.
And it's Nimslow. It's a 3D camera. You used to get those lenticular prints back then in the 80s. You would send the film to the company and they would send you prints so that you could, you know, like...
You tilt it, it's like 3D.
Yes,
you know it exactly. From stickers. Like
yes, and nowadays you can make GIFs out of it. So you just scan the negative and then you overlap it in Photoshop and then you can make a 3D GIF and it's very, very great. You should have a look at Instagram. Yeah. We have a few examples on our Instagram mm-hmm. page, I think. But if you you know, search for the hashtag Nimslow, there's a lot of example pictures and it's a very fun camera. And we're so lucky to get it there because it's hard to get by.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, I'm always interested in looking at things. I'm not a collector in any way. I'm a person who uses stuff rather than collects, if you know what
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So, Michael, what's your favorites?
Oh, my favorite, like Hanno said, is like it's the F100 because the Nikon F100. It's like because I have all the lenses, it's a really reliable camera. I always travel with that. Before that, I used the Canon AE1, but it got light leaks, so it's just in I don't use it anymore. Yeah. So I'm back at the F100 and actually I don't do medium format. I started now with large format again, which is like sometimes a pain in the ass, but I get used to it anymore. And you know, most of the stuff when I'm not traveling, I'm doing like on the tripod, very slow conceptual photography. So it's great to work with cameras like this for that. Because you can work very exact and yeah, it's a whole different thing doing it with this with large format cameras, but I haven't done it since 10 years and I'm doing it now for quite a year now and I'm getting better.
Very slow process, I hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to try it at some point, definitely. But I think you're going to have to go try it with someone else, I think, aren't you?
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah.
It's like you have to... there are so many things you have to think about. It's like, okay, first of all, do I have everything in my pocket or in my suitcase? Because you know, you need a suitcase, not a pocket. And do I have everything? Do I have the right... I don't know how to tell in English the Biden... It's like what Ausfunkers is.
Yeah, well, you need
the cable release. You have that, but you have 100 things you have to think about.
Yeah.
And if you miss one, you cannot take the photo.
Yeah. So
that's all. That also happened to me. That I was at the location, wanted to take the photo, and okay, no cable release.
Oh dear.
Let's go home again next day. But it's also fun, yeah. It took some time, but now I like it.
Oh, that's good. It all interests me. I love trying different things. But the Nikon F100, that's a autofocus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you like more modern.
Yeah, it's actually, I think it was one of the last ones that Nikon built that was also in a reasonable mm-hmm. price range. I think the yeah. last one that was the F2 or something that was...
It was like in between of consumer and professional yeah, camera. And yeah, you have that autofocus, that's great, especially for yeah. when you want to shoot fast. And yeah, you have everything. Actually, it's like... When I switch from my Nikon, my digital Nikon, to this Nikon, it's like the okay. same camera.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Just don't have as a display, and yeah. it uses film and not cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. I've only shot realistically old cameras, so probably early 70s. The Olympus OM range.
Yeah.
That's what I use. I use the OM10, which is their camera. I mean, it sold thousands and thousands. It was a, you know.
Yeah, but it's a great camera.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, I've actually got it next to me, I think. No, I've got it here somewhere. I just took a photo of my daughters tonight with it, actually, which is cool. I've got some ISO 25 film.
Oh, wow. Which one?
So, yeah. It was, it's an Adox one.
Ah, yeah. Dave Grant's film, yeah. Awesome.
Well, I thought I need to give a bit of business to Paul. You know, I appreciate his time coming on there, so I thought I'll look on there and see what I can get. I'm going on holiday next week, so I wasn't sure whether I was going to use it for that or not. And in actual fact, I've decided I'm just going to take film with me this year.
Yeah. Where are you going on holiday?
It's in the northeast of the country. It's like a fishing village with beach. It's a beautiful place. Got a nice abbey up on a hill. Very picturesque.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've got a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, so. We'll have a lot.
And are they interested in photography already too?
My eldest takes more notice, and so earlier we was out playing bikes and football and things, and I was just fixing my youngest bike, and I said to her, "Can you just hold the camera a minute?" Next thing I heard was a clunk.
Oof.
So she took a shot of me.
Oh, okay. I thought you dropped it. Okay.
No. Okay. So I was like, no, she's really good, actually. She knows how to use the focus.
Oh, awesome.
Mm-hmm. So I make sure she does. I mean, with digital, I've done light painting with her.
Uh-huh.
It's a fantastic thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So we've done that in the living room, and then I've done flash photography with them where I got them to jump off the sofa and I'd catch them in midair. And what's that? Like, wow, I'm in midair, I'm flying, and it's so much fun. The benefit of having children.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I think I got my first camera when I was 7 years old or something, and it was such, you know, like a compact camera from Minolta, like this easy autofocus, you know, like point and shoot cameras, and there was a booklet with it, like it was for kids, the camera marketed for kids, and there was a booklet with it. Telling you what you can try out and doing, like you can try a series of things. You can try, and that's when I started out. Like my first series was when I was on holidays with my dad at like this farm or something. And in Austria, it was up in the mountains, and there are lots of like crosses, you know, and I did my first series on crosses and like you know, like hiking paths. It was a very back, it was a very disturbing series. But
I think this has been, for me, it's been so interesting because there's so many of you have rich histories of photography. Nearly every person I've spoke to is like, maybe my dad used to be a photographer, or my granddad was, and they've passed on cameras. It's amazing to hear these stories.
Yeah, but actually, I mean, my dad didn't. I mean, he gave me his camera, but he was like just a hobby photographer. It's like, because everyone shot like analog, and it was like he used his camera for family pictures or whatever. And
My grandfather, he also was like, he wasn't a photographer, but he developed and he had a dark room, and that's what my grandfather did. But actually, I got my first camera also from my dad, and he borrowed it to me, and like when I was 12, and I still have it.
You never gave it back.
No. I think that's really nice. it's so different from what I've experienced. So yeah, I appreciate you, finding the time to say things like that, because it's really nice. It gives me a good insight into you.
Well, again, thank you for having us.
Yeah. Cool. What is the future of Revelog then? Have you got secret plans to take over the world?
Of course, yes. No, probably no world takeover, but...
You haven't recognized that you're speaking to Pinky and Brain.
and I'll let you guess who is who. actually, on next Monday, it's planned, right, that we are releasing a new limited edition black and white film. Which will be another of our... We have the Snowflux film, which is a black and white edition of our Volvox film, and that's only available from October to March, but we will be releasing another film which has a vintage look, and people who know our films might guess which film that might be. So there will be a couple of roles available from next Monday.
It's limited, but...
Limited time. Yeah.
This is the next little big thing.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. So at least you're still working on new ones. That's good.
We're trying.
So this is a really broad question. What do you think is the future of film?
Wish I had my glass ball to know that. It's very hard to answer.
It's not gonna die, that's for sure.
Yes, I don't think so either, because there are a lot of enthusiasts who try their best to keep film alive, and you can feel that there is so much heart in it. But of course, it's probably going to be harder. It's going to be more expensive. Because the material cost is rising, and since the big companies don't have the margins anymore and don't produce that many films. Movies are no longer shot in 35mm, and so there's, I guess there's it will be a niche market, but I think it will be a steady niche market.
Yeah,
I hope so.
I think the biggest problem we're all got is the same issue. Is where's the film cameras going to come from? And I think it's fine people saying there's enough film cameras out there, but that's not a real answer to me.
Yeah.
It's not only the cameras, it's also the chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big thing about producing the chemistry, and you can have a lot of film if you don't have the chemistry to develop it. So there are a lot of factors which are in that question.
We really don't know, but we hope the best.
I'm pretty sure that it's not gonna die. Also, I think so. I hope so, but it's...
We are doing our best to
keep
We're doing our best.
Fighting against that.
I think that's the best thing, isn't it? And, we get more people to talk about it. And then, hopefully the younger generations try it. And that's definitely happening, isn't it?
I think so too. And I really hope that people, some people say, well, it's so expensive. But on the other hand, you get something substantial. I mean, you can take pictures with your cell phone or whatever, but if you have a roll of film and if you take, you have such a great quality in the image as well. You cannot emulate that with a cell phone.
You hold it in your hands. It's not data anywhere on your computer or in the cloud or stuff like this. You can hold the negative, you can look through it, and that's and you can enlarge it yourself and stuff like this. And that's I think that's a big part of the magic with film.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think, I don't know, it might seem expensive at the first moment, but it's priceless in a way,
what it gives you back.
I think you've got it spot on there. I think some things are more priceless, so spending time with your children That is totally priceless, because you either work to pay for things for them or you spend time with them. But there's always a compromise,
yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, all these things are similar to me in them senses. But I do like the physical product. Considering that I work in the IT and technology industry, for me, it's not the answer to everything.
Yeah, and I think people are going back to hands-on stuff. I feel there is like a real
not only in
need,
photography.
Yeah, like in every area, there is like a real need for people to have like something haptic, to have something
it in your
hands
here, and not the
to
mouth.
To feel it, yeah.
It is important. Yeah. When I started the interview, I did say you will be subjected to my infamous random questions. So if you want to decide who takes the question, that is perfectly fine. So your first one. Your partner is staring lovingly back at you, and you have one Malteser left. What do you do?
I'd probably give it to him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, but Michael's going to be the opposite. Are you just going to eat it, Michael?
No, it's... I would do the same.
Yeah.
So we're very nice.
Yeah, we're best.
That was fine. You could have said I could have sold it. You know, there's so many things you could have done with it. Right, this one's for Michael because I think this is going to be a harder one. Sleeping Beauty is the film, but what is the beauty called?
Once again, please.
So Sleeping Beauty is the film. But what is the beauty called? As in, what is her name? Does that make sense? I didn't know this till my children started watching it and told me Sleeping Beauty's real name.
Belle?
No. Ah, so you failed.
Yes, yeah. I heard that a lot in school. Yeah.
No, it's like, do you have children?
No, a cat. We both. Okay.
Yeah, we both own a cat. Michael has a. It's also a boy. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So,
do you know the hands?
I would have said Belle actually too. What's her name?
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's
Aurora. Really? Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Either of this one then. So, was the moon landing faked?
No.
Actually, that's quite a funny question because, you know, when I was in high school, I did how do you call it, like, when you're speaking in front of class?
A talk
about the moon landing and that it was faked when I was in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Wow.
I don't know.
Uh-huh. You were a conspiracy.
Too long ago.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there are some people who still believe it. I mean, if you took the time to research, there are some crazy websites out there, trust me.
Yes, there are.
I know, yeah.
the next one. Brad Pitt or Sean Connery?
Sean Connery, always.
I'm Brad Pitt.
What?
Fight Club.
Oh, no, I'm still on Edward Norton in that one.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Edward Norton. Yeah. And it's got to be Sean Connery. He's the cool guy.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt still got a long time yet, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Sean Connery was lining up for a very long time. Right, your last question. The zombie invasion is here. Where do you go? We've all seen the latest films.
Yeah. I'd probably go into the mountains.
I was going to say, you're in a perfect environment in Austria, aren't you?
Yeah, well, Vienna is not really in... Well, but, yeah. I mean, I've seen Dead Snow. I don't know if you've seen that film. It's very funny. There are the zombies coming out, the Nazi zombies coming out of the mountains. So maybe the mountains are not that good of an idea, but I would say I would go to the mountains.
Okay, Michael, are we...
And you, Michael, where would you go?
I don't know. I think I'm mountains. I'm bad at hunting and stuff like that.
You'd be the first zombie, right?
I don't know. Maybe. Hard question. Maybe at my dad's house, because you know they have that room there which is always full of food. And you can stay years there and you have enough food. You just have to shut everything down and all the windows, and then you can stay there and
sit it out.
Sit it out.
Uh-huh. Good plan.
You've already got a plan.
I join you.
So you're in the mouth.
As long as you send me an invite, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
No, thanks for that. That was really cool. I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. It's nice to get on with such nice people, and we can see we've got some nice mutual interests there. I always like to give my guests a chance to tell us where we can go look at your work and anything you want to promote. So over to you for a minute.
Well, so if you're interested in our films and want to try them out, you should head over to our website. It's www.revolog.net. It's revolog.net.
You should be there on Monday because we're releasing that special edition film.
Exactly. And yeah, there is... We're very excited also. We have a cooperation with Third Culture, actually. We released a small pin of one of our films, and we really love that one. You can get that on our website, too. And
you should check out Third Culture, too.
Yes, right. Third Culture. He's amazing. He's in Australia, and he's also doing a lot of things to promote film and film photography. Third Culture. Third and culture.
Oh, that's cool. I'll put a link into the website on the podcast, and then I'll put on the Instagram page as well.
Thank you.
Great.
It's nice to see your photos as well, so you see the business element of where you filmed, and then some of the lovely work from your customers, which is great. So I just want to say, please keep making your films, keep spreading the word. It's wonderful what you're doing.
We'll try our best.
it's been great. I wish you every success, and you know, I hope to see the 120 film come out. And please let me know.
Of course. Yeah. That will be a big announcement when it happens.
It doesn't matter, does it, if it's years away? I mean, we're still here, aren't we, hopefully? So my final question for you then, who would you like to see on the podcast next?
That's a good question.
I had an idea. Analog Now team for me. Who? The Analog Now team.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's
what we talked about, the friends we made through to Analog Photography. There's that Analog Festival in Berlin.
Yeah, Analog Now.
Wow.
And they're really great, and they're centered a lot around a lot of analog photography enthusiasts. One has a mobile dark room.
Mm-hmm.
One is a Polaroid experimental guy called Urizen Friasa. He's doing extremely great things. and a lot of
the whole team is
the whole is team is amazing, and they're doing such great work. Yeah. And we can give you the details and get you in touch with them if you would like to. And
those are
great.
Yeah. No, that'd be cool. And can you give me the details of that? The people at Frani, that'd be wonderful.
Yes, of course. For sure. We will send you an email. Yeah. Yes, of course.
Yeah. Right, that is great. Thank you again. Thank you to your cat for listening in.
He's gone already.
Oh, no. It's always nice to engage your family, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wish you every success. I really do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And I'm sure we will speak again.
Yes, that would be wonderful. Nice. We will stay in touch, of course. Looking forward to your next podcast.
That's the end of another show. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I enjoyed making it. It's always great to have a guest on with me. Please do share the post and podcast show as much as you can where relevant. If you have time, please do not forget to review this on iTunes. Just hit the review button and give it 5 stars, please. It's always helpful. It's motivation for me to keep the show going, and I want to keep this going for as long as possible. And basically, I'd like to get lots of different and interesting people on here. So that's what I'm trying to do. Thank you again, and see you next time. Bye.